We'll get more into the Yankees coming up in a few minutes, but right now it is time for your Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo. With Sean Morris, some of your fan. Tune in and hear what's brewing. The list that's also airing. Controversy in the air. Opinions flying high. Sean's got the scoop, don't miss out. Give it a try.
All right.
From the top to the bottom.
Thank you. Another way too long.
So that's great. Every week a new surprise.
I apparently went too early.
So grab your sombrero. Join the fun, don't be late. Cinco de Fivo on WFN. It's always great.
All right.
Sean Morris.
All right. Helix Wireless. That's enough. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Yesterday, I was called a hater. Oh, Mr. Negative on the Jets. I gave you the five things I want to see from the Jets in the preseason. Giants football tomorrow, 1 p.m. Evan will update you on a signal split in just a moment on the Giants.
Oh, that's right. We have a signal split tomorrow. Can I update everybody right now?
Why don't we do that now, Evan?
Yeah, so tomorrow, all the festivities of Old Timers Day will begin at 11:30 on 660. And we got it all covered. Susan, Emmanuel Barbari, Dave Sims, they're going to do a great job. Lots of interviews, memories, former players. So we got it covered beginning at 11:30 tomorrow on 660. And we got the Giant game on the FM side. Did I get all that all right?
And who can you hear on the Giants pregame on the FM side?
You could hear Tiki Barber.
There you go. So big day tomorrow on WFAN. Two
Tiki
signals.
Tiki Barber here.
Yankees, Giants. But in terms of the Giants, the five things I want to see from the Giants in this preseason. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
By the end of this preseason, I want Cam Scataboo to look the part of a real running back tandem with Tyrone Tracy. He already got banged up this week at practice, which sucks, but I want to feel good about Scataboo beyond the aura of Cam Scataboo.
I assume he's not going to play tomorrow, right?
Right.
Because he's banged up?
But again, this is for the whole preseason.
Gotcha. I'm just one down, two to go. I mean, there's only three of them.
I know. I assume too. All right, here we go.
Number four.
I think this one's a big one. Drew Phillips to take the next step to be one of the better nickel corners in football. Look, everybody wanted to praise the guy for being a good third-round pick last year. How about not take a step back? Part of the reason people believe in the Giants' talent is those guys from last year's draft taking a big step forward.
For those that listen every day, and you're really a P1 listener, and you analyze his Cincos, there is clearly something going on. I'll explain when his Cinco is over.
Okay. Here we go.
Number three.
Deonte Banks to actually earn a starter's role and not just be handed one. He's in a big camp fight right now with Cordell Flott. Boy, that would be real sucky if a first-round pick doesn't win a starter's job here in year three.
That's a bust. That's
yep.
what that is.
Absolutely. Here we go.
Number two.
This is very niche. The second-team offensive line not to get eaten alive by second-team defensive linemen because, as Evan alluded to earlier, somebody goes down like Andrew Thomas. They invested in all these backups in the offensive line.
No,
how about don't stink?
Bro, that's a big deal. I know it may not get a lot of attention, but one of the most talked about topics on FAN for the last 10 years has been the Giants offensive line. Well, injuries happen, and your left tackle's injury prone. So, yes, the depth of the offensive line needs to be solid.
And I'm going to undercut number one by saying this. Let's take a window seat to Giants training camp sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals. 30% off your installation project.
Number one.
Jackson Dart is in the window seat, but not for the reason you may think, Evan. My number one thing I want to see from the Giants this preseason, for Jackson Dart to make some mistakes on the football field. It'd feel real nice if we walk out of here Saturday with Jackson Dart lighting up the world, right? Guess what? At some point, a rookie quarterback is going to make some implosion mistakes. That's a good thing, because the quicker he makes those mistakes, the quicker he can watch the freaking film, the quicker he can learn from those mistakes. And I actually think Jackson Dart having some easy breezy preseason where he learns nothing about how to make mistakes and then making those mistakes in regular season games will drive us nuts. I want to see him throw a pick or two this preseason.
What did Daniel Jones do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
What did Eli Manning do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
What did Sam Darnold do in his first preseason game?
I don't remember.
No, that was the point of this. None of us actually remember.
Right. But in real time.
No, I know.
I don't think it's a crazy take to say that, though,
no,
right?
No, not at all. Look, the thing about Jackson Dart that's very unique to me is you don't want him to play.
Right.
Yes, you're excited to see him, but the Giants are actually doing this thing right. The Jets never do it right when they drafted young quarterbacks. They play him right away. And I never liked it. I never thought it was a good idea. I think it is best to make a guy wait. So the way he plays in the preseason game is going to be one of, hopefully, his rare opportunities to just actually play.
Right. But if he doesn't make any mistakes and then they sit him until December, what good is that? Let him get through his head, hey, I can't make that kind of throw in the NFL.
I think your Cinco is very solid. It started very differently than the Jet one because you would say such as, you know, their quarterback sucks. Someone's got to prove it. You had more of a positive tone with the Giants than you did with the Jets. But you know what? It ended pretty good, and I'll leave it up to the audience. If you listen to his Cinco from yesterday, you can download it on the Evan and Tiki podcast and compare it to today's Cinco. You can make your own determination.
Okay.
Old Timers Day is this weekend. We mentioned all the coverage right here on WFAN. There are three guys who are appearing at Old Timers Day for the first time.
All right.
Do you want to guess the three guys?
You know what's funny? I haven't looked at the Old Timers Day roster at all, so I really have no idea. For the first time, are they all off the 2000 team?
They were, two of them was, one of them may have been there for 30 seconds, but he wasn't, I don't think of him as the 2000 team. But I want to give you a correct answer on that. Two of them, definitely, he played 22 games in 2000, no impact. You don't think of him as a 2000 Yankee, to be fair.
All right, tell me, I don't know.
Roger Clemens.
Oh, okay, I knew Clemens was coming back. Okay.
Jose Vizcaino.
Nice!
Who got the game-winning hit, obviously, and is a former Met. And the third guy is Alfonso Soriano.
He's never been back?
I guess not. I mean, he retired a decade ago, so he had plenty of time to do it. Is that true, Rosie? He's never been back for an old-timers day?
That sounds off. I feel like I remember him coming back.
Or did you screw that piece of information up? And if that's okay if you did. Still wouldn't be as many mistakes as Hoffman makes, so it's okay.
I was going to say, if that was Hoffman, I'd 100% think it was a mistake.
No, he has the star next to his name.
Wow.
Which means a first-time OTD attendee.
Wow.
The Blue.
That's he'll get a nice hand.
Took him a decade. I have a question about Soriano that I always have found fascinating. So Alfonso Soriano ended up having like a pretty good career, like actually a really good career.
Mm-hmm.
With the Yankees, he was a really good player, and in the prime of his career, he was traded for A-Rod.
Yep.
So the rest of his career, Texas, Washington, Chicago, he came back at the very end, but you know, whatever. I kind of throw that one out there.
I remember being very excited when he came back.
Yeah, but he was 37 years old.
Like,
he was done. So his career was a good one, but, you know, we don't think of him as a Yankee legend because he was traded early on for A-Rod.
We would have.
That's my point. The man hit a home run that would have been the game-winning home run in Game 7 of the World Series in the top of the eighth inning.
Yep. He lives in Yankee lore if Mariano doesn't blow that save.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like,
absolutely. And remember, he had one of the game-winning hits.
In the ALCS against Seattle.
Well, no, and also he was part of one of those comebacks.
You're right. I'm sorry. No, I think Seattle, too. I think he did both. I think he.
But in part of those magical nights in Arizona, he had the non-home run of all the ones.
The non-Mr. November Jeter moment was Soriano. And then I think in that same LCS, or that same year, had a game-winning hit against Seattle. I think it was the same game Paul Abbott had like a no-hitter in the fifth or sixth inning and got pulled with a no-hitter. Do you remember this thing?
I do.
He walked like a 100.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, to your point, legend.
Yep.
How would we view him if they won that World Series? Like, would they have traded him for A-Rod? Would it almost have been like, well, no, we can't trade him for A-Rod. I mean, the guy's in Yankee lore.
You know, my guess is they probably still trade him for A-Rod. However, are they as desperate to trade for A-Rod if they are coming off?
Because they win in 0-1, like they still, you have to assume 0-2 and 0-3 play out the same way. You have to.
Are they as desperate?
Why were they desperate after 0-3 to do it anyway?
I guess you're right. They won in 2000. Now that I'm thinking
this out loud. I don't think they were desperate. Nah. I think they took advantage of the opportunity that, hey, Boston couldn't seal the A-Rod deal. A-Rod's a great player. As good as Soriano is, A-Rod's better. Let's just go get him.
They probably still trade him.
They still trade him. And how do we view him as he returns? Like a legend?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, dude, don't you think Aaron Boone's more of a legend if they win the 0-3 World Series?
Well, that's why I bring it up. Like, Boone's was a walk-off against the Red Sox. This wasn't going to be a walk-off, but it was Game 7 of the World Series.
Winning a championship changes everything, and being a big reason why changes everything. To have the game-winning hit in... Let's be honest. We talk about what our favorite Yankee World Championship is.
Oh, that would have been it.
0-1 would have been it.
100%.
No doubt about it.
Between, obviously, the emotions after September 11th and the way they won those games.
Yes.
That would have blown all the other years away.
It would have been everybody's favorite Yankee team of all time.
It's why I'm going to ask you a very unpopular question. So the Yankees are honoring the 25th anniversary of the 2000 Yankees, the team that won the World Series, beat the Mets. We all know the dynasty. Next year is going to be the 25th anniversary of the 0-1 team. I know you guys don't honor pennant winners, but that team was so special, I'd consider honoring them.
I would, but I would do it in a unique way. I don't know that I would do it on a random August date. I think I'd honor them September 11th. or right around there.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Maybe you don't want to take away from first responders. If I'm assuming on the 25th anniversary.
That's true. You know what? Now that I think about it, you can't do it on September 11th. Because it's going to be the 25th year anniversary of that horrible event. Like, it's going to be more about that than it is the baseball. I think it would have to be a different day.
Okay. But still, I think around that time, maybe not. You know, that's where people are going to get, I think, very nostalgic.
That's the one pennant winner that I think the Yankees should honor. Because you're right about that team. We had that countdown that occurred from our committee earlier this year on the greatest kind of bridesmaids in New York sports history. Almost champions was what it was called. And they won, and they deserve to win.
This is an easy answer for me. September 11th next year falls on a Friday. We're getting Mets Yankees that weekend.
Well, we did that in 2021,
for the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
For a weekend series, you're going to get Mets Yankees that weekend. You don't do it that Friday. That's Saturday or Sunday. You honor the 2011.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, it's funny. The baseball schedule usually comes out by now, as weird as that is, a year in advance, but they usually do. It comes out in like July. I've been texting. I'm so weird.
Are you kidding me?
I've been texting Sonny Carton, who works with MLB now, Craig's son. Like, hey, Sonny, when's the MLB schedule coming out?
Is that the only thing you're texting him?
I'm a loser. Yes, that's the only thing. And he writes me back. He's like, yeah, I'll find out. He didn't find out. So I texted him again. I'm like, are we going to find out about this schedule? I'm the one guy anxious about this freaking 2026 schedule. But you bring up a great point about the Mets and the Yankees probably being set up for that weekend.
How do you not?
It makes complete sense.
Is it possible they honor both teams somehow, no matter what ballpark it's actually in?
Why would they honor the 2001 Mets?
Well, just because of the 9/11
connection. Because of the way they...
Yes. With the city and everything.
On September 11th, you're talking not about the baseball. I think that's why I said it has to be separate. Like, it's not about what the Yankees did or the Mets did. I think it's more about 25 years since, you know, it's the...
But
it's
on the Saturday, September 12th, you know, people are still feeling the weekend.
Yeah,
you haven't done that.
I think that's different.
Yeah.
I think the anniversary is such a weird anniversary because it's the horror... But it's also the heroes that we celebrate.
Right.
It's two things.
And the horror, rising above and coming back. Yes.
But obviously none of us can get over the horror of that day. But yeah, I would guess that they'll do Mets Yankees. Let's get to some of your telephone calls, 888-808-1019. Chris and Ron Konkoma. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I was calling about the Mets and Mets. Evan, you said something about, you know, not going Clay Holmes to 75 pitches. I totally disagree. These guys... one of the reasons why they're in a slump is because they haven't set a record of not going six innings.
Why does that affect them scoring two runs on Tuesday night against the Guardians and getting no hit into the ninth inning on Wednesday?
Well, I think the team doesn't have the toughness. The manager is a nice guy; everybody likes him, but they're not tough. You understand? They got to show toughness, and one of the ways you show toughness. You let that pitch a tough three.
Disagree.
Innings.
I think that's bad managing. I think Clay Holmes has shown us that he's a five-inning pitcher. And I know that may seem harsh. I'm backing it up based on what I've seen. Like, when they've pushed him to pitch the sixth inning, that's when his starts have sometimes derailed. So why would you be like, oh, you got to be tough? How about you manage to win? I thought Mendy was right to take him out after five. What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing that you took the one true baseball call we had on the board, and I cannot believe the four subject lines that are awaiting us.
Yeah, we got some weird stuff. Want to hear about the Outer Bridges name? Yeah, this one's good.
Let's do that.
Mo in Brooklyn. What's up, Mo?
Well, I heard you guys talking about the Lincoln Tunnel. You didn't know who it was named after. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd ask you, do you know who the Outer Bridge is named after, or do you think there's an Inner Bridge?
Well, it's the Outer. We're getting out of Staten Island, New Jersey.
You believe that. So if it was the Outer Bridge, wouldn't it be two words?
Is it not?
No, it's one word.
It's one word.
The Outer Bridge is one word. Yeah, because it's...
You want to know who it's named after?
Who's it named after?
It's named after Eugenius Outer Bridge.
Yeah. I heard that story, true. Isn't that crazy?
A guy's name is Eugenius Outer Bridge?
That's right. Eugenius Outer Bridge. You didn't know them?
Come on.
Yeah. Eugenius Harvey Outer Bridge.
Yep.
His last name was Outer Bridge?
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
That's stupid. What stupid parents?
Yeah, very dumb.
That's pathetic.
I agree. Those parents are just... I agree. Let's go to Ossie in Woodridge. What's up, Ossie?
Was it a joke? Was that not true?
Eugenius, Sean. Didn't you hear the first name?
Yeah. Like Eugene.
Eugenius.
What is the joke here?
Oh,
what am I missing?
I'm a fat moron. Thank God it's Friday, right, Evan?
Yeah, thank God, man.
And Sean said before the Mets are going to have the Fats Four in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Sean would be the fifth and forgotten Fat Beetle if that was the case.
That's funny, Oz.
It kind of is.
And if that guy is still listening who complimented your arms in relation to Tiki's, to that guy, all fat guys have big arms. It's a known fact.
It's not true.
So it is.
That's not
quite true.
No. Not true.
I'm a solutions guy, Evan, just like you.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. All right, so I think you should take your scorebook to this little part.
Why should I?
All right, well, and then there's pros and cons, but take the scorebook and also take that elementary school food tray that you have. Cover up the scorebook, and if anyone says, like, you got a scorebook there? Say, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
That would make me look like the weirdest guy ever if I'm, like, hiding it every time someone looks. Yeah, Ozzy's referring to it. I mentioned it earlier. I'm going to a barbecue over the weekend, and usually when I do things, I DVR the Met game. Like, very simple. And then I get home and I watch it. Not complicated. But they happen to be great Met fans. And so the Met game will be on. So I was like, can I bring my book? Just whip the book out. I mean, the game's going to be on. I may as well score it. And there were a lot of very mixed opinions on the subject. A few callers were very upset. They called me very mean names for even suggesting it. And then some were very supportive of it.
You should be bringing it. I think we've discovered that. How about this? Eugenius Harvey Outerbridge, sisters, middle name Ewing. And the Knicks ended up with Patrick Ewing. I guess I only find that interesting.
Also, Eugenius Outerbridge, the first chairman of the Port Authority.
Yeah.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the first chairman of the Port Authority.
I never knew that. Let's go to James at Islip. What's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Not much. Yeah, I was just referring back to what you were saying as far as the Mets kind of playing 500 since April. I point to the fact that that's right around when Jeff McNeil came back as well. And I just feel like, you know, he's kind of, he never got along with Lindor. Seems to be like, you know, kind of has like a bad juju about him, you know?
I've heard that so much over the years that it's all Jeff McNeil's fault. I just don't buy it. And I'll tell you part of why I don't buy it. How is he responsible for the lack of production from Mark Vientos? How is he responsible for the lack of production from catcher? How is he responsible for Juan Soto not hitting with guys on base? How is he responsible for center field being historically bad? How's that possible? Like, that is why whenever I hear these fan fiction stories about the locker room or chemistry or it's this guy or it's that guy.
Why are you still laughing?
Because I can't believe that Eugenius Outerbridge was a real person.
You guys maybe think that the joke was on me. It is a real person.
It's a real... No. I thought the joke was on you. I'm going to come clean. There is a guy. I'm looking at him right now.
You can't even finish the McNeil point. You stared at this.
Eugenius Harvey Outerbridge. He was a businessman and promoter of Fiberboard. The first chairman of the interstate agency known as the Port Authority in New York. The Outerbridge Crossing, a Port Authority bridge, was named after him.
Here's what I think. I think that...
Are we all being, like, fooled by this?
I think he changed his last name and had his whole family change his last name once he got into the Port Authority, and there's no record of this. Because isn't that genius? Like, oh, I'm going to work with the bridges. Let's change our last name to Outerbridge.
I don't know, man.
Or back then, though, isn't that where, like, your last name was Schumacher, you made shoes? Maybe it was one of those situations, like Outer Bridge. He was a bridge guy.
How about his parents were born in Bermuda?
Yeah.
He's a Bermudian.
That's crazy.
He was born in Philly.
Yes.
He's a Philly guy.
March 8th, 1860.
When that guy called in to say that, were you all not convinced he was just pulling his leg? And I thought it was funny. I thought it was a funny joke.
Yeah, I didn't think it was real until me and Connor researched and figured out it was real.
So that's why you guys were laughing, because you thought it was a joke.
We thought you were an idiot. Yeah, and then even Ozzy thought you were an idiot, because he's like, think about the guy's first name, Eugenius. No, that's literally his name.
Yeah, I had it up here. That's why I knew it wasn't a joke.
Wow.
Like, the Lincoln Tunnel sounds like, obviously, it's Abraham Lincoln, right? I mean, but... Yeah. The Outer Bridge, it's the Outer Bridge.
Yeah.
There can't be a guy named Outer Bridge.
And you can't name the Outer Bridge Bridge, which is why it's called the Crossing.
So who was Goffles? Who was that guy?
So it's named after a guy named George Washington Goethals. It's so funny you said that, because as soon as we started talking about this, yeah. I looked up the Goethals.
George Washington, too?
The Goethals Bridge is named after George Washington Goethals, a prominent engineer who supervised the construction of the Panama Canal and served as the first consulting engineer for the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey. The bridge connects Staten Island, New York, and Elizabeth, New Jersey. Isn't that crazy?
Eiffel Tower is named after a man named Gustav Eiffel.
Yes.
Wow. And for the record, on the Lincoln Tunnel thing, I never denied that it was named after Abraham Lincoln. I just never thought about it.
Well, I'll tell you something, and I have pitched this before to people, and it's a brilliant idea no matter what anybody says. We should sell the naming rights to all of these bridges and the streets of New York City.
I think it's a great idea.
It would be such a great, instead of congestion taxes or raising our taxes, like, sell the naming rights to the Goethals Bridge. Like, no offense to George Washington Goethals, we could put a statue up. Like, we don't need the name. And now all of a sudden, pick a sponsor. It's the FanDuel Bridge.
The Surfside Tunnel.
The American Expressway. You see what I'm saying?
The George Washington Bridge could be American Dream Bridge.
Yeah, why not? Now, I love George Washington. He's my guy. But we can honor him another way.
He's had his due. He doesn't need a bridge anymore.
He's got a district named after him.
He's got
a state named after him.
You can name something the Chase Bridge.
No, you could. I get it because the Garden already has one. But think about the money our city would raise.
Yeah.
We'd all start referring to it as that. Like, we would really have no choice.
I can't believe I'm saying this. You're so right.
I brought this up to a mayor once, and I can't remember who it was. Was it Bloomberg or was it Giuliani? I think I said it to Rudy once. And he was like laughing, like, oh, it's funny. Like, he didn't take me serious.
Why? Then it takes money out of, like, the tax. If the taxpayers could save a little money on this.
Yes.
I don't know. Name all the parkways, too. The Southern State, turn it to the Shake Shack Parkway. What the hell are we doing?
100%. Because especially, like, maybe it's more difficult with George Washington because we don't want to take that away from him. But for the ones like the
Lord. Don't want to take it away from him. It's enough with George Washington.
It's never.
The first president, we're all, how many now? 53 of them? Enough.
That's like, you know, if George was still alive.
Enough. There's a million things aimed at the George Washington. We get it. Enough.
You think there's been 53 presidents?
How many have there been?
Not 53.
All right.
Oh, Sean.
It's got to be close,
no,
right?
You got to know the answer at this point, don't you?
I'm a fat moron.
I mean, we had a guy now serve two different terms, so it brings the number down. Grover Cleveland served two different terms. Like, you got to know the answer, right?
Am I higher or lower?
What do you mean?
From 53. Is it lower or higher?
Much lower. I mean, significant. Much, maybe. Two. It's lower.
Much lower. So yeah. 80?
No, lower.
The guy puts it on all of his merchandise.
Have you seen Trump's hats?
It's everywhere.
The red ones? No. They don't have a number on them?
It does. He has the number because he has two numbers on his hat.
Just tell me. How many presidents?
Well, first of all, no. Do you know the numbers he has on his hat?
No. Dude, I have Yankee hats, Giant hats. What do you want from me?
It's 45 and 47.
So we've only had 47 presidencies.
No. Well, 45 because two guys served twice.
All right.
Trump has now served twice and Grover Cleveland served twice.
Can we calm down? Like, that's something everybody should know?
I think it is something everybody should know.
What the hell do we care how many presidents there have been? We're going to live, die, who cares?
Because they make a big deal of it, like Bush 41 and Bush 43 is how we refer to them.
Who's they?
Like people.
Whose people? Who are these people? And tell me why it's a big deal.
Because I don't know.
It's not exactly. It's not a big deal how many presidencies there have been. Who cares? It could be three. It could be 84. George Washington was alive 200 years ago. He doesn't need a bridge. Enough. I don't care how many presidents there have been.
So you haven't seen, like, the hats?
I guess not.
I will tell you this. I have to admit this, Rosie. I get confused by the numbers. Like, I remember Bush 41, Bush 43, and then I have to count back to get to what we're up to. So I'm like, okay, Bush 43, Obama 44, Trump 45, Biden 46, back to Trump 47.
See, like
as I was saying it, I was like, I gotta remember what number we're up to.
See, why do you need, I'm telling you, it's a waste of time. Nobody should care how many presidents there have been. That's my take for them.
Yeah,
That's a hot take.
I'm gonna let it.
George Washington Goethals built bridges for you, and Michael Outerbridge, whatever his name was, and you won't even just take enough time to learn how many presidents there were. I mean, come on.
Honestly, it's enough.
We are already past the date of when next year's baseball schedule comes out, and I'm always into that. The other thing I'm very much into is the release of the NBA schedule, and that usually comes out next week, middle of August. We have our first leaks to the NBA schedule, and it does involve the Knicks, which is why I bring it up. Would you like to hear the leakage?
Let's leak.
So the first leak doesn't involve the Knicks, but I do think that's news. Opening night of the NBA season, which is on NBC this year, very exciting, October 21st, features a doubleheader that doesn't include the Knicks, which I am surprised about. It is the Houston Rockets in Oklahoma City against the Thunder, which is very sexy because you got the reigning and defending NBA champions against Kevin Durant.
That's right. I forgot. New team, who this? I already forgot he was a Rocket.
No, I know. That is, on a lot of levels, like, I know the Thunder are still kind of pounding their way to popularity despite winning an NBA title. Hopefully this is the year where they answer with big TV ratings. But putting them up against the Rockets makes a lot of sense. The second game of the doubleheader is an oldie but goodie, Warriors-Lakers. You get Steph, you get LeBron, call it a night.
Could be, the last time they open a season versus each other.
It could be LeBron's last year. And I expect that LeBron's going to make that announcement in training camp that this is his final season. So I get those two games. A little disappointed it doesn't involve the Knicks. They are a sexy, sexy team.
But this is where we're going to luck out a little bit. We hope on October 21st, one of our baseball teams is playing a game, don't we?
That is true. That is true.
It's a Tuesday night on NBC. You think basketball outdraws baseball that night?
I mean, it depends. It depends what the baseball matchup is. Now, here is where we do have Nick news. Christmas Day. All right? The Knicks have to be on Christmas Day. And they are. It will be the New York Knicks against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Christmas Day.
But we don't know what time yet, right?
So here are the listing of games, and I kind of have a hunch on times. Cavs at Knicks, Spurs at Thunder, Rockets at Lakers, Mavericks at Warriors, T-Wolves at Nuggets. The Knicks are playing at noon.
Yeah, it's the only Eastern time zone thing.
And they have to be playing at noon. Because I think there's a one-hour time difference in OKC, so a noon game would be an 11 a.m.
That's
game.
We're not doing that.
So I think we are locked into another noon Knicks Christmas game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that's the first leaks of the NBA schedule. Does that excite you?
Well, there's a couple of things, first of all, that bother me. Number one, unfortunately for the NBA, it just doesn't, we'll care because it's the Knicks. We don't care about the NBA and Christmas Day anymore. The NFL has forced us into that. So where I used to get, excited about this, I just know inevitably I'm not going to see much of that. Don't we have a triple header this year?
No, it's unfortunately true. I love the NBA on Christmas, but the NFL killed it.
It did.
No, they really did. I think opening night is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a Net fan, so I'm interested in when the Nets play the Knicks. But, yeah, those are the two benchmarks, Christmas and opening night. The Knicks get Christmas. They don't get opening night.
Also, maybe this is the 10:30 game. Who will care eventually? Does anybody really care about the Dallas Mavericks right now? I know Cooper Flagg's coming in.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Mavericks at Warriors, that's a draw for you on Christmas. I need to see a little more of the Mavs this year before
Kyrie's not going to be back then. AD, hopefully is healthy. And Cooper Flagg is, I think, a draw as the number one overall pick. Sure.
You know what else it tells me, Evan? No excuse for the New York Knicks this year on an NBA Finals front. The NBA just gave you 10 teams playing on Christmas.
Look at the Eastern Conference teams.
And there's only two teams playing on Christmas from the East.
No, I know. Well, it shows you that the East, and look, it's because of injury, which is crazy. The Pacers and the Celtics the Celtics specifically are an appealing draw. They're best players out for the year.
Yep.
The Pacers, I think, are, the Knicks' blood rival at this point, but their best player, the guy you hate the most, is out for the year. I mean, it's like tonight the Yankees are playing the Astros. What would it be if Altuve wasn't there?
You're right. And I think injury has something to do with this. I also think the NBA just sent you a big message, too. They're not sure if Giannis is going to be in Milwaukee on Christmas Day.
I mean, they didn't put him anywhere near Christmas Day or opening night.
Nope. New team who
dis. Yeah, you forgot Durant was on the Rockets, which makes me laugh.
I did.
So there you go. Your first leak from the NBA schedule. The rest of it probably will come out next week. But yes, I admit, I'm a geek for this stuff. I love it. And maybe it's because I'm a season ticket holder. Maybe that has a small part to do with it. But I am excited to see, the NBA schedule.
Fun fact, it is the first time since 2015 that there is not a Celtics game on Christmas Day.
Wow.
How about that?
Makes sense. We just touched on it. The losing Tatum just takes the draw away.
I said this. I already forgot. What are the NFL Christmas games this year?
I already forgot, too. I couldn't even tell you. When you were saying there's Christmas games, I forgot which games there are.
Yeah.
Let's go to Anthony in Dix Hills. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Hope all is well. Hope you're enjoying this Friday. Sean, they do a really good job filling in for Teak here or when Evan's not in, so I appreciate
that, Ant.
Absolutely. Now, real quick, Evan, I wanted to touch on, I haven't been able to listen much today, so I don't know if you guys talked about this, but Juan Soto really pissing me off. And it's not even really about his play. It's more about his attitude. I don't care about the shuffling and all that kind of stuff. I guess I kind of do, but you don't see any emotion with him when he's at the batter's box. And that was part of his game. He had that intimidation factor when he was up in the box, and doesn't seem like he's providing it that much this year. And like, at what point, and I listen, I know it's what year one of his 15-year contract, but at what point do we say, like, this contract may be a little bad and kind of call him a mercenary?
It's all, to me, about performance. I understand that bothers you. You want a more emotion. I don't see an issue. I understand Boomer, like, I forgot what Boomer's issue was, actually. I don't want to misquote him. What was Boomer bitching about Juan Soto again?
He doesn't like that he's not smiling, right? Wasn't that a thing?
I don't remember now.
Or the hustle? Was it
no,
the
wasn't
hustle?
It that he didn't like he was smiling after the home run against Gavin Williams?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think that was one of the things.
I love Boomer, but give me a break. Like, he had a home run, he should be happy. He's smiling. The effort in right field, I had an issue with. I called him out on the Rico. I didn't like it. But I'm getting used to it. I know that's not a great answer, but Ricky Henderson did it all the time. Barry Bonds did it all the time. There are certain players that, for whatever reason, on these balls in left field and right field, like, they don't give you the effort you want, and it is absolutely frustrating. I'm not saying it isn't, but it doesn't disqualify them or make them bad contracts. It's about performance. The biggest issue with Juan Soto is he's at 210 with runners in scoring position. That's it.
Do you want the quote? I have the exact quote FAN put out.
Oh, Boomer. Yeah,
Boomer's quote. He's got a nice smile on his face, and he's laughing. I'm sick of it. I want to see attitude. If that's the guy making $765 million and he's supposed to be a leader, I'm not following that guy.
Well, a couple of things. He is not a leader on this team. I don't think he was ever going to be a leader on this team. If you paid him and thought he was going to become a leader, I don't think you were paying attention. He was not a leader with the Yankees. He was not a leader with the Padres. He was not a leader with the Nationals. Just because you give a guy a lot of money doesn't make them different. That's number one.
I agree with that.
So he's not a leader. And anyone arguing that he should be, my question would be like, what the hell did you expect? That's number one. Number two, he smiles a lot. You know, John Franco, and I brought John up a lot lately. I love John Franco. Now, seriously. You know, John Franco used to smile walking off the mound after he blew a save. Do you guys remember this? I remember the calls to WFAN. Can you believe this guy smiling after he blew a save?
Mr. Smiles.
Do you think John Franco smiled because he didn't care? Does anybody think that now?
No.
John Franco smiled because he was pissed. That's why he smiled. Sometimes we smile when we're angry. I smile when I'm angry sometimes. I smile when I'm in an argument with my wife sometimes.
You get that, you son of a, you know, that grin.
Baby.
Yeah.
So to say he's smiling too much is also not fair. I'll make this simple, because this is the truth. We can sit here and talk about smiles and shuffles and even efforts in right field or pimping balls that are hit to the warning track. That is not the issue. The issue is performance. The issue has always been performance. He needs to hit with guys on base. He needs to be impactful. I think he will be. How can you not think he will be based on his career? It's frustrating it hasn't happened now. It's frustrating I'm calling him Juan Soto. That's what he's been. I think it'll change. But all this other stuff, it is noise. I get why as fans we bring it up, because we get so frustrated. So we're like finding things to complain about. It is all about results. It's always been about results. That's it. Am I wrong?
No. And he will perform. Even if he has what? If this is the worst Juan Soto year we've seen to like the last 3 years of the contracts, it's not even a bad year statistically.
It's not a bad year statistically. Here's how I would compare it to you, Sean. He's Pete Alonso last year. The numbers are fine. He was not impactful.
Right. You need him. And Pete came through and was impactful in the postseason, right?
And I remember.
Isn't that why you signed Soto anyway, ultimately? We could talk about the 162. You sign him because he is one of the best postseason players we have seen.
I think you signed him for both. I think you signed him to make the impact over 162. Some years will be better than others over the course of 15 years. And, of course, you signed him to have that major, major impact. But to the hustle aspect, because I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm just fine, whatever, he doesn't make an effort in right field. Of course it bothers me. All I'm reminding you is Bonds did the same thing, and Ricky did the same thing. And as long as they performed, what do you think Giant fans said about Barry Bonds? What do you think we said about Ricky? We didn't get pissed at Ricky for lack of hustle until he stopped performing.
Right.
We didn't care in 1999 when he was awesome. So no. I just want to remind people, that's not me defending him. It's just a reminder of, hey, sometimes you got to live with what certain guys are. He's not busting it on every play in right field. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I wish he didn't. I wish he busted on every ground ball to second base, but I'm popular. I wish Lindor did the same thing. He doesn't.
Yep.
I wish they all did the same thing.
He's lazy.
They don't. That is not fair, dog. I didn't say that. And you know, I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. I was going to compare myself, and that's so sad. was playing Twitter baseball years ago, and I got a 3-1 fastball, and I rolled it over. Just rolled it over, hit it to second base. Slammed the bat down, I didn't run hard. Because I was frustrated.
Are you kidding me?
Because I was frustrated.
You can't not run hard.
I know. Because
he's lazy.
Because I stink.
Yeah, that's a bad job. You got to always be nimble. Oh, real quickly, NBA has a shot here. Potential for some stinkeroos on Christmas.
Yes.
Cowboys Commanders at 1 up against the Cowboys.
The Knicks game. The Knicks are going to be at noon, bro.
Yes. But the Cowboys could stink by then.
Yes.
Now, I'm not telling you the NFL won't win. They'll win. But the NBA could get cut into it if the Cowboys are relevant. 4:30, the Lions are in Minnesota. What if J.J. McCarthy sucks?
Yeah.
You know, and then night Broncos Chiefs will do well.
Yeah. So. Look, it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't matter. The NFL's king. The NFL and the NBA aren't even competition, but the NBA isn't going to back down off of Christmas.
No.
But for the Knicks fan, yeah, you're going to get another Christmas game at home, Madison Square Garden, 12 o'clock against Cleveland. Let's go to Rob in Westchester. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. I was in Westchester. Now I'm in Jersey. That's how long I've been home.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
So, anyway, I was going to talk about the Yankee lineup, but getting over to Soto, yeah, he doesn't have that swagger this year. Everybody sees that. It's noticeable. And you say when he's going to come out of that funk, I'm not sure when that's going to happen either. Season's almost over.
Well, okay, so that is the worry. I was talking to Licata about this earlier because I obviously, and this is why I think sometimes it depends on what you want to hear if I'm a positive or negative fan. I don't think I'm either. I think it's just how I feel about a team and how I feel about a player. I think Juan Soto's going to break out of it. I think Juan Soto's a great player. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned that Juan Soto's never going to hit. But are there seasons that just don't go your way? Yeah. Beltran had that his first year here.
Right.
So when I say Soto will be fine, he'll break out of it, I don't know if it's going to be this year.
Yeah. You got plenty of time on that contract to break out of it.
Yeah. Like, Juan Soto could conceivably just have a year in which he's not impactful. He puts up good numbers, fine numbers, and come the wild card series, he goes 0 for 10. It happens. They face the Dodgers in a best of three. He just doesn't hit. That could happen, followed by 2026, him literally winning the MVP and then having a monster postseason.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think a bad year this year means that's it. But obviously, in the time of right now, I want him to have a good year now. Like, I'm not going to be around forever.
Jeez, way to be morbid now, Evan.
Well, I had weird news about my liver. It made me very nervous about life.
You're
so,
back.
You know,
you're fine. You're full of life. Look at you.
Well, I got to
get scoring games at barbecues.
I got to get an MRI in a few weeks. Like, God knows what they're going to tell me.
An MRI now?
Yeah.
What are you, a Giants offensive lineman?
I think they said I got, like, fat in my liver. It's a whole thing.
True story?
Yeah.
I have that, too. I'm not getting an MRI.
Well, because I care more about my health than you.
That hurt.
Well, I mean,
wow. That hurt.
You said, well, I'm not getting an MRI. Maybe you should. I mean,
you want me to get a fat MRI? Is that what you want?
I didn't say a fat MRI, but when you go to the doctor and they're like, hey, these levels are off or that looks weird, you follow up. You don't just say, I guess I'm fat. Don't make me the bad guy. You just said.
You're the bad guy. You've already made yourself the bad guy.
How am I the bad guy?
You've called me fat and then said I don't care about my body.
I did not call you fat. I said maybe because you said, why am I not getting an MRI?
You heard yourself. You're going to go back on the rewind later and you'll listen to yourself and you'll see what a disgrace that was, what you just said.
He's fat! I apologize.
All right.
Is that too late in an apology?
Yeah. You genius.
Let's go to Nancy in Flemington. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Nance?
Good. Evan. I am very disappointed. I feel that the negative comments and the negativity, you know, surrounding the Mets is not what we need right now. So, you know what the Mets do need? Positive Nancy.
We certainly do. Positive
and
Nancy.
You know, Tommy isn't there, so he can't say anything to me. Like, I'm not positive, blah, blah, blah. We need to rally now. This is the time. We can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. This is the time that we really do need to stand behind them. And I'm here for that. I'm going to light a fire under Mendy and the team. Just get me out there.
Let's go.
I really, really want this team to go. You know what I'm saying?
We can't give up.
The negativity or positive.
But Nancy, I appreciate your positivity. And I appreciate you calling in. And I wish you could be in the locker room to pump the guys up. I am not here to preach positivity or negativity. I just got to tell you how I feel. And sometimes you will like what I say and say, oh, Evan's positive. And sometimes you'll hate it. All I'm saying is I will never give up. I'm a sucker. especially in baseball and football. Those are the two. Even basketball. Give me the 8 seed. I'll take my chances. Like, I'm a sucker. Give me a playoff chance, and I'll believe.
You are the believer. As
you
long
know what
as
I mean?
You get in, you are the one guy that does that. Yes.
I am constant on that. So I'm not giving up. I'm not telling you. Like, I hate when people say, well, they can't win the World Series. What does that mean? The hell does that mean? If you're in the tournament, you can win the World Series. So I am certainly not suggesting they can't. I'm evaluating the fact that, hey, for 90 games, they've been a 500 team. That's it. Now, I hope that changes. I hope 3 weeks from now, I'm like, boy, what an idiot I was. They're a lot better than I thought. But right now, and it's funny because it was the opposite last year. They got off to such a bad start, and then they were the best team for a long time. And it took a while before it was like, wow, maybe they really are this good since the sample size is telling us they're this
good. Right, you had to actually believe. I'll say this about Positive Nancy. She's there. She didn't abandon the team when the going got tough and went to Nashville. I will say that.
Who did that?
Supposedly Positive Tommy, but...
On fairness,
I won't lead us.
Didn't Tommy tweet something ridiculous after they lost the other day? So he's still doing his shtick.
He's not going to see a second of the Mets this weekend in Milwaukee, and the team needs him the most.
All I know is...
No biggie.
I didn't see Tommy's tweet after they lost. I got messages like, this is bad, you got to pull the plug on this. And I'm like, I wouldn't even look. I'm like, first of all, I'm not his keeper. He could do whatever the hell he wants. But apparently the reviews on his tweet after the Mets lost in the near no-hitter game were very bad.
No biggie.
I had to pull him aside. Too. I told for the first time in a long time, I thought somebody on this show embarrassed the show on social media.
So what did he say? Because I still didn't look.
Loogie!
Do I need to read it?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Right. I mean, if you thought it was that bad where you thought he embarrassed the show.
Give me a second to pull it off. But I do want to say for SNY, thank you, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY.
By the way, we'll find out if Tommy listens while he's away. The real thing, I'm definitely not going to tell him this. I'll tell you this. The architect came over to me.
Oh,
and said it was so bad. And he takes him so unserious after that comment, he's thinking of pulling him off the Lugauer.
No biggie.
And I was like, I don't know if you could do that.
Wow.
And he's like, yeah, it was just the credibility. You know, I was like, you can't do that to Tommy.
That's tough.
So I talked him out of it. He's going to stick with the Lugauer, but don't tell Tommy. I don't want to.
Thank you for talking him out of it. If somebody got home at 9 p.m. last night, I'd appreciate you talking.
Yeah, because it'd be you doing it. Yeah, now, so don't tell Tommy. I don't want him to know that, so don't tell him.
I won't.
Lukey! So what was the tweet in question?
Boy, did he get engagement. What cannot be overstated is how big that Soto homer was in the ninth. Something to build on. Positive momentum heading into the series against the Brewers.
Can I defend him?
Oh, no.
No, hold on. I'm going to attempt
to. Oh, no.
I'm going to attempt to defend him.
No biggie.
If, and this is a big if Soto wakes up this weekend and the Mets jump on Brandon Woodruff early, he's going to take a victory lap, and I kind of buy it.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
They were getting no hit.
I know.
It was one solo and another solo homer.
No. So, Sean, I want to make it clear. I agree with you. There have been times, though, in the past where I've talked about things in the ninth inning of a final game. I'm like, maybe the player can build on it. Maybe they can build on it. If Soto goes on a tear, you got to admit that maybe it's something he can build on.
Stop it. Here's where Tommy lost, I think, the Met audience in a spot. There's times to be positive. You don't have to tweet after every game. After you get no hit, that homer, that felt so meaningless.
Yeah.
To tweet as if it was meaningful.
You know what I think you're saying?
Hurt 326 responses, by the way, Met fans basically cursing him out.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he got engagement, which he likes. Here's what I would say that the response could be. The response could be, look, I still believe in this team. I still believe we're going to be fine. No lying. This is a rough patch. Isn't that being positive?
Yes.
I still believe in the team.
We're
good, but I cannot deny this was ugly. Because that's being positive,
that's
right?
That's being positive with the right tone.
Yeah.
The tone was missed here. And Frank the Tank simply tweeted at him wrong.
Sorry about that. Wow. This is why I'm a generational talent.
And that got nearly as much engagement.
All right, we'll come back with your calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free telephone number. It is Evan and Tiki on this very busy summer Friday.